This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Take these handles down. You'll need them in a couple of minutes. At Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY, 98_7FM. Those are our handles on X, formerly Twitter. As we once again try to find out who is the greatest of all time.
This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Spectacular three-run homer.
Cause that's the bottom line. Cause Stone Cold said so.
This is GOAT Madness.
Yes, Larry, it is that time once again.
Yes.
For our listeners to determine who is truly the GOAT.
Oh, baby.
We're back to Region 1. This is the region where we opened our tournament way back when.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're competing for a spot in the Sweet 16. We started with 64, and already we're working our way down to the Sweet 16. And we go back to the number one overall seed of the entire tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, of course...
Gretzky on the ball, and he'll take the pass.
And people might be surprised that a tournament that I made, Larry, not a hockey guy, would have Wayne Gretzky as the number one overall seed. But when you go to Wayne Gretzky's Wikipedia page, his achievements have their own Wikipedia page.
That says a lot.
Right. He needs a whole page just to kind of run down everything. So he was amazing. He is the great one. He is the number one overall seed. And tonight he'll be taking on the number nine.
You need to be a gangster. You need to be a killer, a little yummy, huh? You need that.
Ooh.
Okay. If that's what you want, if that's what makes you feel like a man, then be a real man. Let's get jumped in right now. Here. Start with me. No, start with me. Here.
Start with me. Come on, killer. Put it right there.
Wow. Of course, the great Denzel Washington. You know, they say that there's people that are singers that could sing the phone book and it would sound good.
Yes.
He could read the phone book, and it would it would feel like it would. It's just so natural the way
It's true. And his walk accentuates everything he does with his acting. He's got that walk that's just like crazy.
So good.
Wow.
So good. Oh, what a matchup that one is. But that's just one of four matchups tonight. Our next one, the number five seed, who is...
It's going to be close as Diver and Kevich in the close. He's coming hard, Phelps. He's still a chance. He's a real big chance. Can he do it again? He hits it, and he does. Remarkable. Stunning.
Exhausting for Debbie. What a swim, Michael Phelps.
Yes, that, of course, is Michael Phelps, Larry.
Yes, of course.
The great swimmer. Yes, Michael Phelps. He's the number five seed.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up against the 13, who pulled an upset in the first round. One of my personal favorites. He is... Yes, the great Edward Van Halen. Who will pull it off? I don't know, Larry. We'll find
out
tonight.
Wow.
It's a good one.
It is.
Good matchups.
It is.
So now we're down to, two ones remaining, right? Let me make sure I got the right one here. Hold on. You knew it was going to happen at some point.
Of course.
Oh, hey, here we go. All right. Yes.
You're good.
Well, you come up with seedings and you think you know kind of where people belong.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people along the way just blow those expectations out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
If the tournament was only one round, the big winner would be our next entrant. It is the number six seed, Larry. He is...
Booze ass! No Michael K! What,
old stupid done man.
Good for me!
It was a very good opening round for Don LaGreca. Can he keep it going as he goes up against the number three seed, who is...
The hot dogs, I don't, yeah, they're some really cold, leathery ones, but yeah, they're the same for everybody, and there's no excuse. I just didn't find my rhythm, and I'm just happy for him. I'm happy to be here.
Wow, you found a clip from Joey Chestnut losing an eating competition.
Wow.
The 16-time Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest winner.
Mm-hmm.
That's Joey Chestnut. He has the world record of 76 hot dogs and buns, Larry.
Oof.
I can't watch it. It's gross to me.
Oh, my God.
So I'm hoping Don...
And I'm worried about two brownies.
Yeah, right. Right. This guy's eating 76 hot dogs, and not in the course of a day, Larry.
I know.
In the course
hours.
Of like 10 minutes. I don't even know what they do. I don't know what time frame they
put. Soaks them in water. God, it's brutal.
He has an amazing streak. I have an even better streak of making sure I always miss his streak. If I see it on the TV, I look away right away. It's repulsive to me.
You know what streak I have? I think that I've been on the air for about 14 to 16.
I hope you didn't look up and see those things. They're pushing him in there. And
Lord.
Oh, my God. God,
somehow I ended up on the air at the same time Joey Chestnut was choking on hot dogs down the street.
Oh, I'd rather watch somebody eat roadkill at this point than watch that.
Ugh,
gross. So let's hope for Don here. I have a good feeling for Don.
I have confidence
that Donnie's going to get it done.
And I think the selection committee is pretty confident, too, in the voting, because that's why they picked a cut of him losing.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. Very possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one other matchup for tonight.
Yes.
The
yes.
final one, the number 7 seed, is...
The pitch. Bonds hits one high. Hits it deep to center. Out of here. 715.
Yes, Barry Bonds, right after hitting 715, he just picked up a car with his bare hands, Larry. It's amazing. How does he do it? Oh, that's right. That's how he did it. But in terms of hitting... He is the greatest hitter we will ever see.
No question.
I know people bring up other people. Ken Griffey Jr. No. Go back and look at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cartoon character. Yeah. He's going up against the number 2 seed, who is...
Wow.
Little known fact, this guitar riff is the 13th seed, Eddie Van Halen.
That's right.
He did this for free, yeah. I'm pretty sure. But the number 2 seed is, of course, Michael Jackson, the king of pop.
Mm.
But is he the GOAT, Larry? That is completely up to the audience. And voting is now open.
At Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY 98_7FM. So once again, Gordon, it is Gretzky facing off against Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Phelps against Eddie Van Halen,
mm-hmm.
Don LaGreca and Joey Chestnut, and Barry Bonds and Michael Jackson. Wow.
What other contest is going to have Denzel, Gretzky, Eddie Van Halen, Michael Phelps, Don LaGreca, Joey Chestnut, Barry Bonds, and Michael Jackson? I defy you to find another tournament that will include all 8 of those.
You can't. You can't. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And that, Gordon, that's just one region.
Right.
That's just one region.
Absolutely. We'll be back with another one tomorrow night.
We got 3 other regions
mm-hmm.
that are just like nuts. Oh, you know what? I'm telling you, I think the selection committee, you know what? The selection committee didn't do a bad job, Gordon.
Very difficult task. There's no perfect answers. There's no perfect bracket, but I think we did a very representative job. I'll say this. Mm-hmm. So far, there's not a single person that I can think of that I regret not having in there somewhere.
I agree. And the fans have gotten into it.
They're getting into it.
I'm telling you, some of these upsets, I'm just shocked at.
And can I just say,
yes.
Last night we had our closest matchup, Vin Scully, mm-hmm. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Oh.
It went right down to the wire. Vin Scully pulls it out 52-48. And I also have to make mention that Peter Rosenberg's Better Help reads.
Yes.
They did an amazing job. They didn't get there in the end,
mm-hmm.
but 53-47, the number one JC.
47%?
53-47.
Wow.
With 500-something votes, so I think 550 in terms of votes or something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, BetterHelp, Peter's BetterHelp reads are the GOAT of all reads. He does a tremendous job with those, but unfortunately, the Cinderella, the slipper fell off.
Yeah.
And got cracked and crushed by Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a tough bracket.
tough opening. Yeah, it's a tough draw, as they say.
I mean, you know, that's number one seed. He held his own.
No question.
Give him credit.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I mean, I hope so, but I don't know, because I wouldn't say he got shut down. I would just say, as we ramped up into, I know he went out for some ground balls that one day, it wasn't great, you know, so it's in that, you know, pain is still in there. So we want it to kind of be things that you're able to tolerate. So whether that turns into hitting and fielding in a couple days, I don't know. But I know where he went out the other day and tried that. It wasn't good enough.
That's Aaron Boone on DJ LeMahieu's injury, asking him if it's short term. It's Hardesty and Damer on ESPN New York Tonight. Gordon, you know, tomorrow's opening day, which means that Answers with Aaron return.
Oh, yeah. I got to get back up to speed, man.
Tomorrow. So we want to give you a couple of, you know, ideas just so you can get into the mind meld that is Aaron Boone.
Of course.
And he's off to a flying start with answering this question about DJ.
A lot of
LeMahieu.
Words, not a lot of clarity, right?
No. Maybe he'll do better with this one. This is going to be fun. This is Aaron Boone on expectations after a bad season.
There hasn't been a season that I haven't thought was as important as it gets. You know, whether we're coming off losing in the American League Championship Series or, unfortunately, last year we don't make the playoffs. Like, as much as, you know, the noise was and has been outside of, obviously, last year was not it, and we expect a lot more than that. Going into every season, there's that same excitement, energy, anxious, nervous, whatever it may be, but the expectation has never been different. I mean, that's no different this year, coming off a difficult season. The one thing I have said throughout the winter is I do feel like there was an extra edge to our preparation, to our players' preparation, to that preparation that carried over into pre-spring and the early part of spring training and throughout. And, you know, even in the, as we go through our advanced meetings today as groups, like, there's an edge and a focus and a commitment that is where I think it needs to be.
And Gordon, shouldn't it be that way? I mean, this is the Yankees. This is a franchise that prides itself on winning and having success and winning championships. And yeah, we understand that it's been a while since they've won. And we also understand that things have changed, right? Everybody has money now. Everybody, you're not able to buy championships. Well, unless you're the Dodgers. And even they didn't buy a championship. They won in the COVID-shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
So buying championships is not necessarily a guaranteed situation. But with you not making the playoffs, I mean, and almost was an under 500 team, I mean, Gordon, I would think, A, that the expectations would be more pressure. And there should be an edge to this team. And, you know, since he's not the fifth Steinbrenner, that seat should be a little warm for Aaron Boone.
It should be. But do you think it is? I don't know. If they had another season like they did last year, I would think that even then. But we would have thought by now, right? Mm-hmm. We would have thought, having the worst season in 30 years, that it would have been hot, or getting destroyed by the Astros in the ALCS in a series that was not competitive, really. You would have thought that would have done it. You would have thought by now, whatever the benefit was of changing managers, when they changed managers from Girardi to Boone, you would have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you haven't.
No.
But it doesn't seem like anybody's really under any pressure.
Yeah.
They have gone from the George's days, where everybody was under pressure all the time, spring training, early season, mid season, postseason, no mm-hmm. matter when.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just kind of feels like, nah, we got it. Well, it's fine. If we make the playoffs, it's good. If we don't, well, it's not great, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not anybody's fault here. It's the players. They got hurt. Who? Yeah. How are we supposed to know that?
Yeah. Listen, I'm a Met fan. I got my own issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be, when you've had the culture that the Yankees have had, and you've seen how successful this franchise has been,
mm-hmm.
and to watch them just totally change, not only in philosophy, but bad players, I mean, Gordon, just bad players that, I mean, come on. You had to know Joey Gallo was not going to work. Gordon, I mean, that's to say we're going to get, and this is just an example, to say we're going to get Joey Gallo because he's a lefty, he'll hit the short porch, and, you know, he'll walk. He'll strike out a lot, but he'll walk and he'll hit some home runs. Stop. It wasn't going to work. You knew that wasn't going to work.
Well, there's been a lot of moves. It wasn't just that one. There's been a bunch of them. There's a lot of them that are still on the team, all right? Carlos Rodon. If his year two looks anything like year one, he has to be in the conversation of worst moves that Brian Cashman has ever made. And the guy's been on the job making moves for, what, 25 years?
If he has another year like last year, he's going to rival Keigawa.
Yeah.
And that's bad.
Yeah, I think he had a higher ERA than Keigawa. And he didn't pitch all that many more innings than Keigawa.
I know. And that's as bad as it gets.
And, you know, there's this thing about the Yankees, and I've seen it. Well, they're always World Series or bust. Don't buy into this. They're not World Series. Well, they've busted. They continue to bust, and nobody loses their jobs.
Yeah.
So don't tell me what you believe. Your actions speak louder than words, right? I can tell you, Larry, this week I'm not going to have any brownies. This week I'm not going to have the brownies and the ice cream. I'm cracking down. I'm really going to eat right. Mm-hmm. But if by Wednesday I'm eating the brownies and the ice cream, it just tells you it doesn't matter what I say. It's what the actual actions are. And the Yankees' actions show you it's not World Series or bust. Mm-hmm. It's did we have a good season? Were we in the postseason? We were one of the postseason teams. Were we playing competitive games to the end? And I'm sure they'll tout the fact, well, we haven't had a below 500 season since 1994. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. The mantra, whether they want to admit it or not, has changed, clearly.
It has. They are now settling, and they weren't a franchise that settled. They are now settling for, you know, only one team can win a championship, and we were right there and whatnot. And that's not, listen, as Yankee fans, that's not what you're used to hearing.
No. And I'll tell you right now that I believe that the window for this group is kind of closed maybe already. And they're going to have to really kind of figure out a different way to kind of shake this up. And they do have a lot of guys that are in the final year of their contract this year. So maybe that'll take care of itself. The Orioles are here.
Yeah.
And the Orioles have followed that Astros blueprint of tanking for a few years, stockpiling all this young talent. And the success that the Orioles had last year was not really the result of the young talent, because the young talent isn't here yet. Their youngest and best players are still coming up. Rushman's really, really good, and he's going to be a cornerstone. But they have other guys down there. They're going to be good. They're going to be there's a very good chance they're the next Astros, and they're in your division.
Along with Tampa, that seems to do the best with less.
Yep.
And if Toronto ever gets themselves together, that's going to be, you know, they've got the offense. If they can just get pitching and bullpen together, that's going to be an issue. And, and eventually the Red Sox are going to wake up from their slumber.
Well, it seems like they've kind of stopped trying.
Yeah, it does. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I know they won a couple of World Series, but that doesn't mean that you get to like go to sleep for 10 years.
It does kind of feel that way.
It's like they've given up. Like, oh, you know, listen, we're doing what we can. You even got players like, what are we doing here? So as we mentioned in our top stories, the Yankees have a new player, and here's Aaron Boone on that new guy, John Birdie.
Really excited about this. Feel like we're getting a really good player. You know, obviously with DJ being down, he very much figures in the third base mix. And then hopefully once we're whole, you know, serves as, you know, a guy that can play all over the infield, even play some outfield, quality hitter, bat to ball, can steal a base. I think going to be a really good addition for us, whether he's playing in an everyday role or when we're more whole in that utility role. But really excited to have him and glad this we're able to pull this off.
All right, so Skipper, is this the Yankee roster for 2024?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's you know, still minor things that could happen, or I guess you're always kind of looking to fortify and strengthened, but you know, I think there was some urgency in making sure we found somebody in the last couple of days to fill out that infield depth, especially with DJ down to start.
All right, so Gordon Damer, you're, for the most part, your 2024 Yankee roster is set.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the give me three players, unsung, that we're not thinking about. Three players that you're looking forward to seeing what they can do. Well, I'll hear from you next. Gordon will answer that for me right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I asked Gordon to give me a couple of names that he's looking for. Not the obvious ones. I know mm-hmm. he's looking for Soto and
right.
Judge and mm. Rizzo and whatnot.
Right.
I get that. But who are some guys you're really looking at to see if they can help, you know, secure some things for this Yankee squad this year?
The first one I would say is Volpe. To see where Volpe improves as a player, right? He had a decent rookie season in terms of offense. He had the home runs and he had the steals, but there were a lot of at-bats that he was still learning on the fly. So I would think for a player like him, where does he go in year two? And how mm-hmm. much of a growth is there as an offensive player for him?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one that I would say I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, I mean, the biggest question mark is Rodon. Does Rodon ever get to be anything close? I mean, I do not have high hopes about him.
Understood.
So that would probably be one. And then the other one is I'm interested to see which of these guys in the bullpen, if anyone, can take over that Michael King role,
mm-hmm.
where he's that the Yankees do such a good job developing these relievers. Starters, yeah, maybe not so much, but relievers, they do. So I don't know if it's the Clayton Beater guy. I don't know if it's the Nick Birdie guy or Luke Weaver. There's a bunch of them that they have down there. And it's almost like, oh, right, I've heard about this guy. Let's see what he's got. And then as the season goes along, it goes from, this guy's okay, and then all of a sudden they become a weapon. So I'm interested to see if they can get somebody to kind of fill that role. I would think that Loaisiga is going to be king, but who then becomes that second guy in building the bridge to the closer?
You know, I've got a bunch of folks that I'm looking at, Gordon, as far as the Mets are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, obviously, is Brett Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be the third base guy? Ever be who they think he can be? Will his bat help them forget his fielding?
Yeah.
Or does his fielding get better? I mean, you know, Francisco Alvarez last year, all we heard about was, oh, he can hit, but his defense, not that great. Framing, mm-hmm. not that great. And Gordon, he did a tremendous job last year defensively. I thought he was much better than we thought he was going to be. So I'm real interested in Brett Beatty to see just how good he's going to be. The other person for me is Jeff McNeil. And Pat Regazzo talked about it with us, Gordon. You know, this is a guy who won a batting title a couple of seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
And is he able to be that guy again where he is, you know, look, I don't need the home runs from him. I've got J.D. Martinez now. I've got Pete Alonso. Lindor's going to leave the ball yard for me a couple of times. Marte, if he stays healthy, is going to do the same thing. Alvarez can, you know, I got power. So I don't necessarily need Jeff McNeil to go up there swinging for the fences. I want him to be the contact guy. I want him to be the guy that goes to all fields, that hits in the gap. That's the Jeff McNeil that I want. I want an average contact season from him where he's always on base because, Gordon, he's my DJ LeMahieu when LeMahieu was really good.
Yeah. Right?
Not necessarily the leadoff spot, mm-hmm. but he was a guy that made contact. You know, he uh-huh. wasn't the guy that struck out a lot. He has a decent eye at the plate, walks. So, you know.
He's got some good versatility as
he
well.
He does. Yeah, so I'm looking at him. The other person I'm looking at is, and it's the other person I'm looking at is the starting rotation, Gordon. So I'm looking at all of them. I'm looking at the whole.
Looking around, right, yeah.
I'm looking at the whole starting rotation. Yeah, I am. I kind of know what I'm getting from Senga. Hopefully he can continue to do what he did last season. But, you know, I mean, Quintana, I mean, he was really good. Is he still going to be good? I don't know. Manea, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? McGill, I don't know. So I'm looking at my rotation, and, you know, they're supposed to be good. They're supposed to be decent. And so, you know, you really don't know. And then you don't have your ace, as you understand, because you're going through it. You know, you don't have Senga. And so now, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, what's going to happen here? And does it mean that I'm going to have to rely? Here's what it does. Because you're not sure of your starters, now you're putting your bullpen in the position where they may have to get burnt out early in the season. I'm not talking Diaz. I'm talking trying to get to Diaz. I'm talking, are these guys going to be able to give me five innings, Gordon? Or am I going to be looking at my bullpen's getting used, trying to get 12 to 15 outs every for the first part of the season?
And the problem you have, even in a best-case scenario, Senga comes back and he's Senga. They like to have him on a six. They almost need like a sixth pitcher, a six-man rotation.
Absolutely.
And I don't even know if they have a four-man rotation. So yeah, that's why I thought the Montgomery move would have made some sense for them to give them a known quantity in the rotation, because right now it's all wild cards.
It is.
Forget about going for a wild card. They have wild cards. They're all in the rotation.
They do. They do. And, you know, I've heard some great things about, you know, Hauser and whatnot.
Sure.
And then, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Then I get to the bullpen. I'm like, you know, Brooks Raley, I've seen him. I know what this is like. Adam Ottavino, okay, I've seen him. I know what this is like. Sean Reed Foley, okay, stop. You know, I've seen them. What, you know, now, listen, with more run support, maybe you're able to stick with these guys a little bit longer. Maybe you stick with your starter a little bit. You know what I'm saying, Gordon? Maybe you do that because you have you've got some offense here. So, but those are the folks I'm looking forward to. And the other asterisk down there is, you know, what am I getting from Starlin Marte?
Yeah.
You know, which Marte am I getting?
That's a complete wild card. And you might get a good start, but you're going to be holding your breath the entire time based on the injury history.
Exactly. So,
and it's not like he's the only guy out there, because I'll tell you right now, if Harrison Bader gets off to a good start.
Yeah, I know.
Hold your breath.
I know. So they've got, you know, it's – and listen, I love him defensively. Bader defensively is phenomenal. I mean, watch him play center field for you guys. He's great.
Yeah.
It's just his availability. And here's the other thing, Gordon. Even in the postseason, he was knocking the ball out of the ballpark. I'm like, this guy's great.
Yeah. Well, look, if the Mets can have a healthy season, I think that they have a chance to be in the wild card mix throughout the season, because their lineup is so good. They should be able to produce runs, especially if Alvarez, like I'm talking about with Volpe, if he takes that step forward, if Alvarez takes that step forward, all of a sudden you got a lineup with Alonso and Lindor and McNeil and Marte, if he stays, and Nimmo and Alvarez. That's a really good lineup. Yeah, that's a really – right. I forgot about J.D. Martinez. Right, that's a really good lineup.
Yeah.
But the pitching is just –
you know,
it's hard to envision that you're going to get enough out of that starting rotation.
I know. I'm concerned about it. You know, I'm concerned. And listen, I'm happy to hear trumpets, but you know,
you might have a few days in between trumpet sessions.
Yeah. I kind of got that feeling. I kind of do. And, listen, I am a big fan of Severino, Gordon. I hope that he can, you know, give me
I hope he does too. I'm pulling for him.
You know, to kind of, because I need some foundation. I need, right now, if you're asking me, who's the guy that's going to stop a 2 or 3 game losing streak in the starting rotation? I don't know who it is. I have no clue. I got no answers for you.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking it's Tyler McGill, I'll tell you that.
And he's not exactly Steve Carlton pitching every fifth day either.
He's not. Now, I mean, obviously, Quintana is supposed to be until Senga gets back, and he might be. And listen, like I said, Severino may be. But I don't know. I can't sit here right now, even with the extra day, now that they're postponed because of the possibility of rain tomorrow, against a Milwaukee team that they should be able to handle. I mean, I don't know who's my stopper in that rotation. I don't have no clue.
You're assuming that you have a stopper in that rotation.
I, The stopper I have, the stop, who I believe is the stopper, is not available to me right now. And that's Senga. 1-800-919-3776. Eric's in Brooklyn. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, guys? You actually took everything I was going to say out of my mouth, Larry. I'm a Met fan, and I was thinking the same thing about the stopper. I mean, it's a lot to ask Senga in his second year to be that guy. And it's a weird season as a Met fan because you're so used to going into a season where you have pitching and you don't know where the runs are going to come from. And now it's kind of reversed. Now you feel like you have a lineup that can produce runs and you don't know where the pitching is going to come from.
Eric, you are so right. I just don't know. Now, listen. Yeah, go ahead.
I had one other thing. I actually tweeted at you before. I was listening to you guys before the Knicks game. And you were talking, Rort is one of the worst catchers. And I tweeted at you, the worst catcher in New York history. As a Met fan, you'll know. Anthony Recker.
Oh. Yeah, he struggled a little bit. Wasn't bad broadcaster, though.
But Handsome guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good looking dude.
Yeah, he's got a face for TV, not behind the mask.
No.
But you know, listen.
He was no Joel Skinner. Joel Skinner. Woof.
Yeah. He's pretty bad. He's pretty bad. There's no doubt about it. But you know, you're right, my friend. That you know, it is rare. Normally you look at a Met team, the pitching is okay. Mm-hmm. You kind of feel good, you know. Gordon, you give me this lineup.
Yeah.
With you know, the team that won 101 wins with Bassett and Scherzer.
I'll be honest with you. I think even with Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah, I agree.
If you have a guy that you know every fifth day, he's going to give you a chance. I'm not telling you he's going to go 7-8 innings each time. But
no.
He's a durable guy. You can rely on him. And then when Senga gets back, all right, now you got to, assuming he gets back, you got a 1-2.
Yeah.
And then now of all those wild cards, you're not needing a high number of them all to hit. You need one more guy, maybe one guy here for the first half or one guy there for the second half. And I think you're within shouting distance.
You're right. In this scenario now, Severino's number three, not number two.
Right.
Okay. And so now
pushes Severino, everybody down, right?
Yeah. Severino at three against another team's third best starter. I feel better about Severino. You know, but now I'm looking at Severino. Severino's number two coming off a tough year for him. Now, hopefully he puts the year behind him, and I believe that Mendoza, you know, helped push for the Mets to get him. He's worked with him. He knows him. And I think he's looked good in spring training, Gordon. He's looked good. You know, so, and hopefully he's figured that he's now getting sleep. He's not tipping pitches. So hopefully hopefully I'll be sitting here saying, boy, Gordon, remember where I felt bad about the Yankee the Met pitching rotation? Boy, I feel much better about the rotation now. But you know,
that is the beauty of the baseball season. It is so long, and there's so many players in the minor leagues, and there's so many deals to be made. There'll be guys that we're not talking about or thinking about are going to be factors that will be factors. So that you do have that reason for optimism.
Yeah,
as we
true.
Get closer to opening day for the Mets, a day delayed. I looked up Joel Skinner's career stats. His career war, Larry, 0.0 in 9 seasons. His career war, 0. His career war is the same as mine, and I never even played.
Wow.
0.0.
Yikes.
Like Mr. Blutowski's grade point average from Animal House.
That's
0.0.
That's not good.
Not good.
And he was around a minute.
Yeah, played 9 years. Couldn't even get one war. I don't know what goes into war. He couldn't even get one of them, Larry. Couldn't even get a half a war.
In 9 years.
9 years. It's a long time to be looking for wars.
I'll tell you this. He must have been a hell of a defensive player. He threw everybody out.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't hitting at all.
No.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I just can't get over hearing the station today and hearing a number of shows. I didn't catch Dan and Rick this morning, but I did hear Bart and Han, and I did hear the Michael Kay Show. And they both those shows made great points about how this season is kind of reminiscent of 1994 so far with the way the Rangers are playing and the way the Knicks are playing. And while I would say to you that the potential for the Knicks to win the championship or even get to the finals is not likely.
No.
Okay. But you're looking at a Ranger team, you know, or it comes to playoff spot, President's Trophy winner, mm-hmm, that, you know, they have the talent and the goaltending that they could do that. And it's just so funny because when you watch how, and you mentioned it earlier, the Knicks have been in the position where they've played teams that they should have beaten and have lost.
Oh, or, all the time.
Or and remember a couple of years ago, it was they had the same issues that a number of other teams had where they can't finish in the fourth quarter, right? Like, boy, why do we keep blowing leads in the fourth quarter? What is wrong? We have these leads and we just blow them in the fourth quarter. What is going on? And you watch them, and listen, I know Toronto doesn't have players, but and they're injured guys. But Gordon, you look at what the Knicks were able to do. They were up by 44, 41 points in this game. I mean, that's like all you need to know about this game. I'm speechless. All you need to know about this game is Tim's emptied the bench with 5 minutes left. He never does that. Even he had to call off the main crew.
Well, the only thing you can judge it on is the result, right? So, like, the opponent's not very good. Okay, how do you handle that? And there's been plenty of times until recently. And I only feel like sometimes a little bit in that first season with Tibbs.
Yeah,
where they would let things slip. Now, they weren't that talented back then, but there would be games where you think, okay, we're going to handle business, and they wouldn't for some reason. Either they'd come out a little flat or they'd get tired at the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. They are, you have to beat the bad teams, and they are hammering them.
Yeah,
you can't ask for any more than that. Now, I don't know that tells you anything about how things will go at the end of the season, in the playoffs, matchups, mm-hmm, all that type of stuff. But you just want them to control what you can control.
Yeah.
And tonight they absolutely took care of business and did what they had to do.
And they did it with precision. There was no letdown.
We
got off to the slow start and we woke up. It was none of that. It was like, they don't belong on the floor with us. Let's just go ahead and handle our business and see if we can get a game or two off. And it's just, Gordon, I got to tell you, I'm not used to seeing that from a franchise that I followed for so many years. I'm just not used to seeing that. I've envied that. I've looked at other teams do that. I've seen other teams do that to my team. And it's been like, boy, I want to be that way. That's the team I want to have. I want to have a team that understands that. And that just shows you that with all the injuries that this team has had, losing, you know, three of your top guys and not having Jalen Brunson for a couple of games as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, Gordon, we talked about it. Preston Sachua had a double-double tonight. We didn't even mention him.
I didn't even mention him. You're right.
And just a nasty dunk near the end of the game. It's a pleasure. I'm enjoying this, and it's rare.
Well, I think what you're seeing, and again, we don't know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
And the ultimate goal is still the ultimate goal to win a championship.
Right.
But up until where we are right now,
mm-hmm,
they have built an organization. And what they have done gives you faith that the people that are making the decisions know what they're doing.
Yep,
and it's been a long time since you could feel with actual evidence,
mm-hmm,
that the people running it here, not someplace else, here, know what they're doing.
Yeah, not so much for the Rangers, but for the Knicks.
Talking about the Knicks. Yeah, absolutely.
The Rangers have been pretty, they've been stout.
Yep.
The Knicks have been struggling, but it's just... Feels really good right now, Gordon. It really does.
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. We're in for Dan Grosser tomorrow night before we lead into the Rangers. So I'll see you then.
Sounds good.
That wraps up this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night. Harvey Joe, thank you very much. Conversation continues on 98.7 ESPN.